Going back to the Chapter 42 excise tax protection, again, the get out of jail free card, this is the big one for many of our clients. This is where they indeed do feel like spending the money to have a full-blown opinion of counsel with a two-partner review process by your firm and sort of signed in the name of the firm rather than in your personal name. They want this reasoned opinion of counsel that says the transaction that they, the disqualified person who's often the client, who's often the one paying you, are not going to get in trouble if they enter into one or another agreement. Is this self-dealing? Is it not? Or is it, is this a co-investment that is perfectly fine? Same goes for jeopardizing investments, taxable expenditures. I don't see those quite as often, but certainly transactions that have disqualified persons anywhere in the mix, they will often want to see an opinion that says this is not self-dealing or should not be self-dealing or is more likely than not to not be self-dealing. But that's sort of the slew of opinions. We very carefully, or at least Laverne very carefully, went through to make sure we got this right. The private foundation first-tier excise tax abatement is when there is an issue due to reasonable cause and not due to willful neglect. That's because you had an opinion. For the analysis of whether an opinion established reasonable cause for abatement, there's a couple citations here that, of course, gets you your CLE credit without having to read a further outline. But the summary there is that in order for something to be due to reasonable cause and not due to willful neglect, getting you out of those first-tier excise taxes, you must be able to show that you engaged a competent advisor. We'll get into competency in the Circular 230 section. You provided the advisor with all relevant and accurate information, right? The client did not hide the ball from you. And they actually received and relied on the advice of the advisor, meaning they made the decision before they got the advice and not after. And we'll touch on that as well. Lastly, before we kind of move towards the next section here, the fun section, the opinions for public charity. The organization manager excise tax. Here it is a reliance on a reasoned written opinion of an appropriate professional. And if you go back, you will have seen counsel. An appropriate professional is a broader category that's outside and in-house legal counsel, includes CPAs and accounting firms. So we have more friends to help us in this department. And that does cover the 4958 excess benefit transactions. So again, there is the reasoned opinion of counsel, and there is the reasoned written opinion of an appropriate professional, including counsel. For this set, there is a knowing and willful standard again. It is the manager's action or inaction was not knowing and willful if due to reasonable cause. And here again, reasonable cause is reliance on a reasoned written opinion of counsel, or again, an appropriate professional for 4958 purposes. You're talking public charities. The manager's action is ordinarily not knowing and willful and is due to reasonable cause. There's a quote down here: a written opinion is not reasoned if it does nothing more than recite the facts and express a conclusion. And I'll in a moment here turn it over to Laverne, but I think there's a tidbit there at the bottom that is, I guess, non-obvious, but will be very obvious, and it is what scares Megan. Written opinions are not just those full-blown two-partner reviewed, signed by your firm with the facts and the analysis and the assumptions and the qualifications laid out. It can be a text message. It can be an email. It often is. And your client will somehow, someday, have to rely on your quick email that you kind of jotted off in the middle of the night without the benefit of your BlackBerry. So there's mistakes everywhere. But emails, text messages, it all counts. We'll talk in some great detail about what needs to go into or what you should be thinking about. When you are writing those emails and text messages, quick memos, and everything else short of a full-blown opinion, we know you'll take care of those properly. But let's dive in with Laverne and our mutual best friend, Lauren Parks.
Thanks, Offer. Yes, we've come to what Offer actually a moment ago referred to as the fun portion of the program. This is the part of the program where we get to see on the ground as a practical matter how those quick emails that we dash off come into play in practice on the ground when a client, a foundation manager, gets assessed with foundation manager taxes and the extent to which what we write will or will not be helpful for that client. I'm from the Northwest. I'm based in Seattle. This is a case that arises in the Northwest, Lauren Parks, the commissioner, the tax court case involving both the Parks Foundation, a private foundation, and Mr. Parks himself, a foundation manager, a director, along with his two sons, and an officer of the Parks Foundation. Mr. Parks was a bit of a public figure in Oregon. He was well known for his colorful and outspoken views on policy matters and in politics.